Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Joan, the keepers of the hearth. We were sitting over there trying to calculate the years, 37 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
37 years. And Jimmy had special edition t-shirts made at year 25, I think that was.
Yeah.
I still have that t-shirt. I have two t-shirts from the time. It's really an honor to read with Jeff and Ellen and to meet and hear David and Robert. And this place is, it's really one of my favorite places to read. So this new book, The Apollonia Poems, really started, I think, when I was closing up my parents' house. It was filled with 60 years of belongings, and on the last night that I was there, I realized how many ghost voices there were there, not just the voices of my parents, but my grandparents and their friends, and they're all gone now, except for one or two aunts in their 90s. Apollonia is an old family name. Apollonia is the name of an ancient city in Greece, and I'm wearing the coin of the realm to prove it. It's also a city in Slovenia. There's an Apollonia, Wisconsin. There's Dapollonia, a common name in western Pennsylvania. So the poems are often poems of voices of the dead. What might they be saying now? And other poems are about the destruction of older cities. Around the same time I was closing up the house, I met a woman who repatriates Native American art, you know, finds it on the market and returns it to reservations or communities where it belongs. And I also met a woman who repatriates art in Italy. So there's a poem in here about that. But the first poem is about death. My grandmother would say, when I was a child, she took me to a funeral every weekend, and she would always say, the little death came and took him, or took her. Little death. She will rip hair from your head, pluck pearls from your spine. She will open you. She will knock your teeth out. She scrapes at your sweetmeats, her own vulva gone rancid. And last, she will drain your tender eye sockets, prancing with your eyes in her palm. With them, she'll look around the universe, seeing endless rings and spirals for the first time. Your tendons, your bones, sticks on the ground, still working themselves in their mother language. This one's called Mother Comes, and I'm going to try to do the two voices. I asked Jan Beatty if she would be the voice of the mother, and you knew she would say no to that, right? So the daughter speaks first, so I'll just try to indicate changes. So the daughter says, was I a boy or a girl? Both, neither. It took me a while to figure that out. 30, 40 years? Long enough to know I didn't know. You burn the candle at both ends. I've had great love affairs and suffered the consequences. Ktovia. What was it with the big blue book? Oh, everybody had that in the 50s. That was like the joy of sex of the 1950s. Maybe some of you have owned that book. It's a thick blue book with drawings in it. Everybody had that in the 50s. Your father and I had one. Even the priest knew. Lots of pillows, positioning of the woman for the pleasure of the man. Haven't you learned anything by now? Ha. Huh. You only taught me your idols. Thoreau a virgin. Leopardi a virgin. Dickinson maybe. Probably not. Maybe. No. No wonder I was confused. Babies are babies, the two I lost I still think of. How did you grieve? We drove to Lake Erie and threw our sorrows in. We drove to Niagara and threw more in. We drove to Chicago to the shrine of St. Jude. You were conceived. Apollonia is restored to the book. We already know why Anonymous did not step forward to speak, to sign her canvas. Adultery, rape and shame, abortion, burials, slanders of forgery, parody, plagiarism. Worst, shyness of her own genius. But my Apollonia was bound to a young Polish soldier from the Vistula, sent to Italy, War of 1866. Her birth name carried from Polina, north, east via Bari, Turkey, east to the green, cold Carpathians. Who removed her name from the ledger in the old church? Who penciled it back in? Maybe you've seen some of the sarcophagi from ancient Rome on which, say, a man and woman will have a bronze of themselves lounging on their wedding feast. And at death, that same sarcophagus is placed in the crypt. This is called the vowel. And it's the speaker is looking at an Etruscan sarcophagus in Rome, looking at the woman in particular. I stared at her braids, afraid she was universal, and I was locked on to the earth vowel she seemed to be mouthing, reclining at her wedding feast, hands full of grapes, bronze bracelets aglow. Did her mouth flute a warning, moaning up through the long braids, threading the roof of her mouth to the top of her head, coiling down, nape stretching into a thicket out there, outside the walls? The braids threaded a map, divided my head into many parts, starched white and French braids my mother plaited every morning till my eyes watered. I wound myself around books until, above half-moon earlobes, a voice. You were conceived three times before you were born. I was bullheaded and bore stone sounds that could carry me anywhere. Woman on the tomb, destroyer. To what myth did I first lose myself? Apollonia is also the name of a claimed martyr and saint whose teeth were ripped out of her head as she refused to marry the chosen one, and who refused to probably relinquish her pagan beliefs to something else. And her head was buried in Rome, and her parts of her body were buried in other cities in Europe. But she was claimed as a patron saint of dentists in the middle centuries. And so if you see a painting of her, she's usually shown with huge pincers holding an enormous molar. This is called copper, gold, olives, wine to Apollonia. No one way to be a woman, no one way to be a city, but I know your many cities, whether Greek, Czech, Polish, or Slovenian. I know your copper bracelets, your rivers of destruction. No way to save yourself and no one to save you. 249 AD, Alexandria. Bernardino's later portrait, in your right hand a book, and colossal pincers to vanquish torturers. In your left, the martyr's palm frond. Woman of no one place, Portuguese, Brazilian, woman of Sazusa, famous crayfish and wine, of sozopol, pontica, and Polina Sicilia. So many places bear your name. You are honored here, too. Bowl of olives and oil, glass with a worn gold rim. In this house, built on Pennsylvania soil, old earth, many times over, burred and extracted. This poem appeared in Pittsburgh Poetry Review. If you haven't already subscribed, you should subscribe and sign up for the next 3 years. It kills, it rocks. Or life. That's better, life. Sign up for life. So everybody here, or some people here, grow zucchini? And you eat the flowers? Do you eat the flowers? Yeah, okay. So this is a recipe poem. It's called Flour Meal. I slid the sliver of anchovy that holds the sea inside the cube of rhodiola, and that I slid inside the flour. When I pinched the blossom shut, I kissed it, dipped it in egg, flour, and the golden oil, then carried it on the white plate. And when you lifted it to your mouth, did you remember? Every flower is a savant. Only last night, your mother was waiting for you here on Via Marulena. And remember, you'd just read that strange novel with that title, and then a word from a stranger brought you to my table, where the jasmine loves to fall onto the dark zucchini. So when I, with my hands, open and fill this orange flower, have I not opened you too? A hungry mouth, which is voice, and your salt, sweet, restless soul. I'll close with this one. Handling the effects of people who aren't here anymore has been strange for me, and I still unpacking things from my parents' house that are stored in my house. And having just closed up my office at Greensburg after 35 years, I also did some excavating there. But this poem is really about looting and the looting of Palmyra and other cities in the last few years by ISIS. And I was thinking when I wrote the poem about that, but also thinking about people who take things because they need them for some reason or want them. It's called The Looting of Cervateri, and it starts with an image from that was in the Getty Museum in California and has been taken back to Rome. Long before the Euphronius cup, rarest red and black, Etrusca gold, vase for wine or tears, was repatriated from the Getty and set in Villa Giulia's glass case, lit with tiny bulbs like Christmas lights. A man, face masked with dirt, blinked and trembled at white sun, rode his rail cart up out of earth mouth, stash unsorted till he got home. His girl plucked out a libation bowl rimmed with golden acorns, while the man wedged broken pilasters into his wall against winds. See the carts bumping along tracks out of the necropoli of Chaco, Tripoli, Palmyra. Perhaps the dying store their house and temple treasures for a future just like the girls, who gathers owl feathers, dresses the cup with them as she would a doll, small fingers resting in the bowl, happy with her feathers. Thank you.